So in our time of prayer this morning, I was out reflecting upon preparing in my mind the gospel, the homily for today's gospel. And the line that struck me from reflections, the teaching that we had done earlier this year, was the question that Jesus proposed to his apostles when they had only a few loaves in the boat. Why do you start from what you do not possess? And today we see this invitation of the 12 to take what they possess, which is inadequate in and of itself, even for them. The types of bread that we're talking about the size of a plate, the thickness of a human thumb, no thicker, 5 loaves and 2 fish for 12 men and Jesus. It's inadequate for them, let alone for 5,000. It is insufficient in and of itself. And I want you to hear in Jesus saying to them, it's funny, the 12 come and they give Jesus a kind of a, I don't want to say an ultimatum, but they say, Jesus, this is what you need to do. Like, because they come up to him, they approach him together, the 12 of them, and say, dismiss the crowd. I mean, literally, Jesus, dismiss the crowd. And so I want you to hear in Jesus' response a command. Not an idea, not like a side comment that he makes, but he says to them, give them some food yourselves. I want you to understand that when Jesus says this, he speaks it, and if he speaks it, he is going to provide. If we hear his words simply as, oh yeah? Well, give him some food yourself, kind of as like a side comment, then we miss what takes place here. Jesus says to them, give them some food yourself. And he walks them through the process. He has to break the bread and the fish because he's got to give some to each of the 12. I mean, there's not even enough for, and here's a loaf for you and a loaf for you. And like, oh, wait, hold on, tear that one in half and give it to him. He does the blessing. He breaks the bread. He tears it. He breaks the fish. He gives it to them to give. And in their hands, it doesn't say Jesus sat there tearing the bread. Okay, that basket's full. Take it. Tearing the bread. Take that basket. It's now full. Tear the bread. He gives it to them and puts it into their hands, and in their hands, as they are tearing and breaking and giving to others, it is multiplying in their hands. He walks them through step by step to fulfill the command that he has given them. They have complete insufficiency in and of themselves, and yet in responding to the command, they have more than enough. And doing and walking in that command. And I think it's in a particular way as we gather to discern, all of the commands that come to us from our mission statement and our purpose and our attempt to put into words what we feel the Lord calling us to do at this time, to take the words of Pope Francis and what the Lord is calling us to do at this time, to take the Charis documents and to see what the Lord is calling us to do at this time, to take the feedback from the people that we're even serving and try to discern what the Lord is calling us to do at this time. I think it is exactly what we need to be doing, Because if we start in our insufficiency, rather than starting with what it is that Jesus is commanding us, we will be stuck looking at our 5 loaves and 2 fish and saying, it is not enough. But if we discern together the call of the Lord for this group and what we are supposed to do, if he speaks command to us, then it is to start in that. He has spoken it. He has commanded it. We need only enter in and follow his command. And he will provide. I think the first reading is just hilarious because it's, you know, Abram goes through this big, huge battle, shows up, Melchizedek praises God, blesses Abram, and Abram's like, okay, here's a tenth of everything. He's like, thank you. You know, it's like, I mean, it's where we get the tithe, it's all of that, but it's this like, you know, like, quick work for a day, Melchizedek, good job, you know? I mean, like, you know, like, you did your job, and all of a sudden you get 10% of all the spoils of all this war and battle, and you didn't even risk your life. And it to me, it's funny because, but to see it in light of the gospel, again, the abundance belongs to God. Our God, he possesses everything. We cannot start in a place of staring at our own belly button and saying, we are insufficient. As true as the statement is, yes, it's true, we are insufficient. But that's not where we start. We start with the call of God upon our lives. And last night, you know, I kind of had an idea what I was going to preach about this morning. So I kind of wanted to share that last night, that reflection. Just that understanding that when the Holy Spirit comes upon that bread and that wine, it becomes radically transformed and changed. It becomes completely sufficient for everything. How much Jesus do you need for every longing in your heart to be in communion with God to be fulfilled? I mean, how much Jesus is sufficient? You know, like 3 hosts, 16, 14 ounces. It's not when we think in this term of quantity, somehow to satiate our need. It is not a quantity, it's the quality. It is what it is that we are in touch with that which we long for and therefore are satiated. We have come to the truth and we receive that which is essential, that which our hearts long for. And I can break the host and fracture it into 1,000 pieces, and each of those pieces would be sufficient to satiate our desire to be in communion with our God. Because it is true, and it is what he says it is. So the radical transformation of the most humblest of elements of bread and wine to satiate our need, to satisfy our longing. What will happen when God places his Holy Spirit within the church in a way that the church is able to receive it and to open it and to accept it and to welcome it and to allow itself to be loved and delighted in? In my mind, the fruitfulness of every investment of self, when we see it, you know, I know that in my discernment to the priesthood, at first I really struggled. I was like, Lord, I want to be a father. I want to have children. And as we got under that desire deeper and deeper, it changed and said, I want to give my life for someone or something else, and I want life to come forth from that. There's a longing in our heart that we desire the gift of ourselves to bear fruit, to be fruitful at the end of our life, to look back and say, and to say there's some fruitfulness as a part of my life. We long for that. But in Jesus, the fruit remains. Apart from Him, all the investment in myself, all that I do, all that I long for, all of it will fade away. All of it will rot and decompose. But in Him, through Him and with Him and in Him, in the presence of God, in our reality, the gift of the Spirit, living in that love, remaining in that love, then the investment of myself into eternal life, in my investment of myself into that which remains, eternal fruit. And we're talking about God in His fulfillment of all of His longing, of the restoration of the world in communion with Him through His Son, to be able to say, now I can pour out my love into my sons and daughters in the way I've longed for, been waiting for this day to take place, that I could place my love within them. And when that love comes in the gift of the Spirit to us, the fruitfulness, I mean, if humanity can be fruitful in its gift of self to other, how much more fruitful can God be within our lives? It's beautiful, this idea that the solemnity of the Holy Trinity is sandwiched in between Pentecost and Corpus Christi. Because both of these great feast days, Pentecost and Corpus Christi, speak of God's longing and desire to be in communion with us so that we can be as He is. To point us to become like the God that we worship. Last thing I'll say, I've been reflecting a lot on the image of the divine mercy and spears and the wounded side of Christ and blood and water flowing out, and it's just all there. And what I think that the church, what my experience from this last year of working with these young adults in the renewal has been, is that I've experienced an incredible communion with them through what we've entered into. And the result of it is when we celebrate the Mass together, it's just blown open. It just opens wide the mystery of the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. And what I realize is that the blood and the water flowing forth from the side of Christ, sometimes I read and I look, because I don't want to contradict, you know, Faustina's diary and all this, but she just keeps saying, Jesus says it is the water and the blood that flowed from His side. The water and the blood that's flowed from His side. But many people have interpreted it as baptism in the Eucharist. And I want to say, no. The blood, as I see it, the blood is baptism. It is that which restores. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins are forgiven. The reconciliation has entered into. The water flowing forth from the side is confirmation. It is the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. We have been forgiven in Jesus Christ in baptism, and in confirmation, the presence of the Holy Spirit, it is even the undoing of the consequences of sin. It's one thing to forgive the sin, but it's another thing to radically undo all of the consequences of it. Every separation, every brokenness, disease, hunger, starvation, longing, hatred, jealousy, all of these things, when they are confessed, then the power of the Spirit to begin to undo the effects. This is the, and it's not some ethereal idea. This is the hard work of the renewal. This is the grace of sitting there praying with someone who has to go through memories of abuse and to bring the power of the Holy Spirit into those memories in order not just for forgiveness of sins to take place, but healing, radical healing, the undoing of the sins that were inflicted on this person, the sins of their life, all of these things, that the power of the Holy Spirit to begin to undo these things, this twofold grace, forgiveness of sins and the undoing of the consequences of sin, then lead us to the Eucharist, lead us to the very heart of Jesus, and becomes the full expression of all of the hard work of forgiveness and transformation and conversion and renewal. That's what leads us to the heart, where we find the Eucharist, we find what we're longing for. And so, if anything, what I see the task before myself in the renewal, and hopefully we find it in the documents today, is the sense that that grace of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that second step and radically bringing people into reconciliation, we miss that reconciliation as a miracle. We miss this all of the time, and we reduce it to a simple human forgiving. Reconciliation between us is a miracle, and it is the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is really, truly this that we see in the renewal, our brokenness, and of all of the people that should know its error, it's us. If we declare that we know the work of the Holy Spirit, then we should be doing everything we can to mend and to heal and to unite, to forgive, to be forgiven, and to reconcile, so that our Eucharist isn't a lie. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, we offer ourselves to the Father, but that mending that must take place, so that one body, one cup, one chalice, one offering, that we can become, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, that which God invites us to be.